Hi, and welcome to episode 344 of No Crying in Baseball, the Is It Time for Dune Yet? Episode. My name's Patty. I'm here with my friend Potty Mouth. Hi, Potty Mouth.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. I'm very excited that we have our outing to go see that great big sandy colored movie.
Yeah.
Very soon.
In 2 days. So it just came out, right? It came out this weekend. You seen any reviews? Are you trying to go in like...
I haven't seen public reviews. Our intern reported...
Oh.
In the voice of a caveman, Dune good.
Okay.
So I'm going with that.
Sure.
I have no other information. I started to rewatch Dune 1. I got about half an hour into it. I will try to hack away at the other 2 hours between now and Tuesday night when we go.
That's where I'm at too.
And all right.
We'll see how that goes. That's encouraging. And we are seeing this at Cinema and Draft House. So we will have beverages with which to enjoy the sand.
Indeed. Yeah. So unfortunately, I didn't chill the mead because I thought thematically I brought Dragonheart mead, figuring that's almost like a sandworm.
Sure.
It's sort of like a sandworm, yeah. But it's not cold yet. So that'll maybe a little afterwards. But right now we are drinking Haystack Hazy IPA from Lone Oak Farms, and it's very delicious.
Yes, I am happy with this one. Yeah, and I actually came back from some sand dunes. I was at a cold beach this weekend. Not totally cold, not freezing cold, but not sunbathing weather. But it was nice for walking on the beach. Today was nice for walking on the beach. Yesterday was pouring rain, which was another interesting thing. But just, you know, there's something to be said, I think, for getting away and, not thinking about real life.
Well, I'm glad you did that. I'm also very happy to have you back. A quick little happy birthday to all the leap year babies out there, because I bet there are some of you. I took out my leap year baby friend for dinner just the other day, and we had a great time. He's 15 now. It's very exciting.
We actually met people who had an anniversary leap year on purpose.
Huh.
Yeah. I was like, wow, well, that's a decision. Yeah, I guess if you don't want to have to remember to get the gift every year, you know, every 4 years, it's all right.
Oh, my goodness. My pal Liam Castellanos
is adorable.
Nick's son, who we've talked about many times because of his t-shirt design skills, because of how excited he is about watching his dad play baseball, has been serving a kind of entry-level bat boy because he kind of missed a really important move on Saturday, I think it was, or Friday, this weekend, when his dad hit a monster home run in spring training, and Liam was so excited to watch the home run. He did not run out and get the bat from home plate. So when his dad finished his round the bases, he just stopped at home plate and looked down at the bat, stood his ground and pointed at his kid and like, come here, do your job. He's like, I got to teach him responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So he was one of your past baseball boyfriend picks when he was on the Reds, I think.
It's all about the buttons.
Yeah, it is.
It's the buttons and it's Liam. Buttons. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the stuff that I said that he was bat boy for the day, so I don't know how many days he gets, but he's homeschooled, I believe. So yes. He should be able to get... And, you know, maybe this is like a tryout and hopefully they can get by this.
Also, I believe their forever home is in Florida. It's convenient. So maybe he'll get a little more practice in.
That'd be good.
On today's show, we've got hot stove, including the C word, not that one, and some moves. We're going to stop talking about pants. We've got boyfriends with Tampa Bay and the LA Dodgers, and we're cross-training with NCAA basketball. Cheers.
Cheers. We are not stopping talking about pants. Maybe temporarily, but pants are one of my favorite themes, thanks to Tanner Scott.
Tanner tie pants?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, can I tell you that apparently John Means' wife just contributed to the conversation in a very insightful way by saying, yeah, the wives don't mind.
Right. So. Well, you know, if they don't mind, far be it for me to change anybody's opinion.
Sure.
So Kike Hernandez was one of my, I think it was our original year, it was my first baseball boyfriend from the Dodgers, where he has now returned. And I just love Kike. And I was so appreciative to have him on the Red Sox for a few years. And he last year went back over to the Dodgers at the trade deadline and was happy there. But you know, was on that last term rental and his contract expired. So he was up for renegotiation. And from the get-go, if you looked at any of his social media, he wanted to be back in the Dodgers. He was so happy to be back there. It's his home, and he's getting up there in age. So, you know, might as well hang out with where you want to be in those last years of career. And he talked about the idea of collusion. So basically, he spent a long time with the question mark on his baseball hat on his Instagram picture. And talked about wanting to be at the Dodgers. Some other rumors flew. And then all of a sudden, he was signed. And he said, I'm not going to say the C word, but I think the C word needs a capital C, meaning collusion. Now, when I first saw this quote, totally out of context, I did think of the other C word because it is Kike. And I thought, you know, Patty's not going to let me say that on the show. So
No, I'm not.
I will say collusion.
You can say collusion all you want.
Even though it is, you know, being said in code by Kike. I wouldn't have been surprised otherwise. But anyway, he said that when he finally did start getting phone calls, that it was similar timing and similar numbers from the teams that contacted him. He did say that his final choice was between the Dodgers and the Yankees, so no-brainer there. MLBPA, the Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark, seems to be considering Kike's perspective. What I saw from the Athletic article was that he said that the state of the free market was, quote, interesting.
Yeah, a couple things about that. One is the owners are using the excuse of there's so much upheaval with streaming and regional sports network cable rights to games. Those are income streams for teams. And they're all throwing up their hands saying, we can't count on anything because these guys are going bankrupt. Is MLB going to take this? MLB TV going to take this over? Mm-hmm. And they're throwing this out there as this is going to prevent us from making any real like long-term decisions. Like Kike, I think, wanted a longer-term contract, right? A lot of these people want long-term contracts and they're not getting them at this late date. And that excuse about, oh no, we're not sure if this income stream is kind of flimsy.
Yeah,
it's kind of flimsy. So Tony Clark mentioned that as well. But the stop talking about pants thing is actually Tony Clark because he has to keep answering questions about,
about pants.
Uniforms. And he's really done with that because there's bigger fish to fry, right? And there is this possible collusion situation. There's collective bargaining coming up. There are, in fact, these the rights to broadcasting the games, and what does that mean, and how do we do this in an equitable way? And there's a lot of big issues going on. There's, you know, tweaking the rule changes that the players are not excited about, and he keeps getting asked about transparent pants.
Yeah.
But you know who wants to talk about pants? The founder of Fanatics, who is the company that's manufacturing these uniforms that the players are really angry about. So Mr. Rubin, the founder, said, we're doing everything as we've been told and we're getting the shit kicked out of us. So that's not fun. So basically, he passed the buck to Nike. He said, they got the specs from Nike. And that's what we made. So stop giving us a crappy time about it and, you know, go up the chain.
Yeah. So we haven't seen or heard any differences. Like, they're the pants are the pants right now, and we'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah, so Nike and Fanatics staff have gone out, like they do every year. Like, there's always representatives go out to all the teams during spring training to do tailoring. And this, in this case, they're like, okay, well, let's figure out what's wrong. And they gave the players a chance to say what they like and what they don't like. And they said, oh, we're going to tailor these. And that was, like we said last week, that's not really tailoring. It's you're either, you know, slim fit or husky or, you know, whatever, regular. And so no one is believing that those changes are going to get made, but they may. But if you've been watching spring training, I bet you've been staring at players' butts because you want to see if the pants are transparent for no other reason, of course. Right. But you want to check for full transparency. and you're probably not seeing any. And that's, again, last week we talked about, because two reasons. One is there aren't enough pants to go around. And two, a lot of teams are saying, we're going to use last year's because those are better.
Right. So Mr. Potty Mouth, if you see me noticing pants, this is just purely for professional purposes as far as this podcast goes. That's the only reason why I would be looking.
See Tanner
closely.
Tight pants above.
Exactly. At player pants. Player pants.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Kike is not the only former, not even former. So Kike is former. I have a couple of present baseball boyfriends in the news this week. So the baseball boyfriends that we're going to keep talking about in a minute, the guys we pick in the offseason because they're cool, and we picked one guy per team. And we're nearing the end. And the guy that I picked this year for the Red Sox, Vaughn Grissom, and not only this year, but I said I picked him last year when he was on the Atlanta team. So I kept him as my one holdover. So like the guy that I'm really hoping for, who just has my heart from year to year, or at least that last year to this year, is now injured with a groin strain. Opening day is in question, and that is not a happy feeling for the Red Sox, who are already being pretty much beaten up. Although they're doing pretty well in spring training, but, you know, it's spring training. Who knows? So I'm a little concerned about Vaughn Grissom. We'll see what happens. One of the guys who has made things difficult for the Red Sox is my very recent pick, young guy, Royce Lewis, who I picked just a few weeks ago. In the Twins, I mentioned a few weeks ago that he has made the news for being Grand Slam happy, that he had 5 Grand Slams within the first 66 games of his career, which makes him the fastest MLB player to get to 5 Grand Slams in history. And so just to show that he hasn't been slacking in the offseason, he's already gotten another Grand Slam against the Red Sox. So that's a little bit unfortunate. I'm happy with my pick of Royce Lewis, but he got a Grand Slam against the Red Sox on Friday. And not only, it's sort of like, it's the worst and the best for me. I'm feeling happy for my boyfriend, but he got it where 3 of the runs were credited to Lucas Giolito. And this was right after the news about how well Chris Sale is doing. And, you know, the Red Sox have not done much to do anything about their pitching situation except for getting Giolito, which kind of weighed equally against them losing Chris Sale. So my hope was, well, they hopefully got the better of the 2 old guys who used to be good with the White Sox. And I'm a little concerned. I don't know. It's spring training, so who knows? But Giolito loaded the bases. And then I'm kind of wondering about the decision here for Alex Cora. Again, like spring training logic. But with the bases loaded, knowing that this is going to be counted against your new ace pitcher, he put in a rookie who had never pitched above A, high A. So he had 3 balls and then let up a grand slam to Royce Lewis. So it doesn't count. It doesn't count for anybody, right? This is a pretend ERA and these are pretend grand slams.
Not on anybody's permanent record.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a safe way to have this unseasoned pitcher get tossed into a stressful situation to see how he handles it. And now we know and he knows what he needs to do differently next time. I mean, that's what it's for, right? These are all teaching moments.
True.
It's more fun to win. Yeah. It's more fun to watch you guys, you know, your guys strike people out and hit homers than it is to watch the other guys do it. But yeah, none of this is permanent.
Yeah. My concern is Giolito, like having this 8-something ERA tagged to him right now. And it's like, all right, it'll get better.
It'll be fine.
All right. On the other extreme end of baseball boyfriends, former baseball boyfriend for a couple of reasons. Well, I don't know if I would have really dumped him. He's not playing anymore. So that's a reason why he's former. Robinson Cano. It just got signed by the Diablos Rojos in the LMB, the Liga Mexicana de Baseball. So that's the premier Mexican league that happens at the same time as MLB. So there is a winter league in Mexico. This is different. He is 41 years old. Power to him. He had, after his second PED, and this is why, you know, I'm always willing to give guys the benefit of the doubt the first time, especially when it comes to PEDs. I don't know. There's always some excuse here or there. But he did get caught twice, which seems extraordinarily stupid. I don't know the whole story behind it. But his attempt to get back in, especially like post-pandemic, getting back into Major League just didn't go well. However, in this offseason in Lidom, he did amazing with the Estrellas Orientales, and then he got put into the Lidom team that went to the Serie del Caribe and also had like a 357 average. He did incredibly well. So I'm feeling very hopeful for Cano being a Diablo Rojo. And the interesting thing is that he gets to play in an exhibition game against his former team, the New York Yankees, on March 24th and 25th, when the Yankees are going to be playing 2 spring training-ish games against the Diablos Rojos. And we talked about this last year, and I didn't realize at the time, maybe they didn't realize at the time, that they're sending a split squad. So they have spring training games here, there in Florida on both of those days. But they're also fielding a team in Mexico. So they're thinking that probably the players with Mexican heritage connections are going to go, like Alex Verdugo. Now a Yankee I'm very happy is there, Jose Trevino. So we'll see who goes, who stays, what happens, and how Cano does against. I think he's going to do awesome.
I bet he will.
Yeah, I hope he really sticks it to the Yankees. I also hope that we can see this game somehow. I don't know if it's going to be on the MLB TV stuff, because it's going to be at Estadio Alfredo Arp Elú, which is a brand new, gorgeous stadium. It's from 2019 is when it finally opened. But there's a link that we'll put in the show notes about the architecture and how thoughtful it is about Mexican indigenous heritage, and also everybody being able to see, and also just aesthetically pleasing. So I would really love to see some games there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Two notes about former boyfriends of ours. Quick delineation. A former is a boyfriend that we have had in the past. And, you know, we break up. It's me, not you. We're going to stay friends. It's just we need a new guy every year. Right. We have ex-boyfriends. Ex-boyfriends are those that we will we kind of cut off because something bad has happened on their part, and we don't want to have a beer with them anymore.
Right. Reed Wander Franco, for sure.
For instance, yes. So these are two former boyfriends. We maintain our friend levels with them. The first one is Matt Chapman, who in 2020 was my A's boyfriend, third baseman. He's going back to the Bay Area. He's going to the Giants on a 3-year, $54 million contract with opt-outs after the first and second year again. So it seems like it's basically a 1-year contract. And when that's done, you say, oh, okay, I'll stay. And the annual payout starts high and gets a little lower each year. So I think it's like $20 million the first year and then 18. And it goes down from there. He's 30, so he's got a couple of years left. And he was hoping for a longer contract. So here it's the whole Kike thing. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you get to this point in the season where spring training has already started, there's less bargaining. Do you want to play? Right. This is, you know, you're going to play. Here's how it's going to go. One of the reasons why Matt Chapman probably didn't score as big as he thought he would. His defense is stellar, right? He's 4-time Gold Glove, 2-time Platinum Glove, including last year Gold Glove with the Blue Jays, right? So his defense is great. His offense tapered off as the season went on in 23, and that apparently is enough for teams to say, we don't know what our income's going to be. So sorry, Matt, you're the best third baseman out there, but we'll see.
It's crazy because we talked about him last week and Cody Bellinger, right? Who, you know, they both got these sort of couch contracts. And Blake Snell, at the time of recording, Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are still unsigned.
Other
experienced players who are having a hard time.
And can I please request that you terrible, terrible humans who keep putting tweets and such online and say, Blake Snell to the Orioles.
Oh, right.
I wish.
I hate rumors.
Can you stop rumors. That? Because it's all wishful thinking and I'm old. I'm too old to have my heart rate to go up and down like that for no reason.
Oh, my God. Jordan Montgomery to the Red Sox is like all over the place because it's logical, but it's not happening. So,
Right. Yeah. Okay. But if he goes to the O's, then we can have Montgomery Burns t-shirts and breaking tea is going to be all over that.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, so Brandon Crawford, who was your original boyfriend for the Giants back in 2018, is now going to back up your current Cardinals boyfriend. He just there's not a contract signed yet. So this is still, you know, it's an agreement, but nothing is final. That's why there's no numbers attached to this yet. He's been picked up by the Cardinals to back up the guy that you picked this year for the Cardinals, Mason Winn, at shortstop, right? Tommy Edman was sort of like their backup for Winn, but he had wrist surgery and he's not back yet. So they needed to fill that position and they want a veteran. They want that clubhouse guy. They want the person who can show the ropes to the kids, right? So Brandon Crawford, 13 years with the Giants, right? He was a career Giant. He really wanted to stay the president of baseball operations did not, however, want him to stay, even though he offered to do this kind of a role. It's like, yeah. I'm not asking to be the full-time guy. I want to stay a Giant. I want to support these young guys. I want to like share my knowledge and all of these things. And it did not work. He's at 13 years with the Giants, three-time All-Star. He's got the franchise record for games started at shortstop. I mean, he's that guy. And I'm a little ticked that the Giants as an organization did not really appreciate him the way they should. And now all of a sudden, there you are. And
oh, sure. I wish I'd gone back to that article because there were some quotes from Farhad Zaidi, who's mm-hmm.
He's the president of baseball operations, yeah.
That head honcho kind of thing. And his comments in response to Crawford's offer to be like that mentor were pretty shitty.
They were very shitty, yes.
You know?
Yes,
kind of like he didn't think that kind of thing would work out. And it's like, this is something that over and over has happened. Look at Nelson Cruz. Look at Pujols. Like,
look at Chirinos.
Right. These guys who are there and maybe not producing, but and I think Crawford could even produce higher than they did, but playing a really important role. And somebody like Mason Winn, you know, is going to really benefit from that. So I'm appreciative that the Cardinals did that. The other thing that I was thinking for Crawford is, my God, he has a ton of kids. He's got like five. I think it's like five.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all adorable. His wife is adorable, but that's a lot of people to move across the country.
And honest to God, he's still in baseball because his kids don't want him to retire yet.
Yeah.
And now look what happened.
Yeah.
So he's staying in there because the kids want to, and now all of a sudden, you know, hi, daddy's going to be in St. Louis, babe.
Right. Super shitty.
Super shitty.
All right. We're hoping for, you know, this is not an exemplary team. Like, I would love to spotlight teams that value that long-term commitment, that show that, you know, these players are going to be with us, and that's what's most important for our fan base and everything. Tampa, that's definitely not Tampa's style, but that's where we're going right now. Tampa does turnover. I am picking this week for Baseball Boyfriends a couple of outfielders who debuted. I think they both debuted. Maybe I said that too early. They had a few key games in 2022, but 23 was their first full season, so they're not rookies. We've gotten a look at them. And I like what I see. I had to pick Josh Lowe, right fielder for Tampa, 26 years old, because last year I picked his brother. And I've got this thing. I did this with the Contreras guys. So if there are brothers to be had, and I've already picked one of them one season, you can predict that the following season I'm going to pick the other guy because I don't want any, like, sibling rivalry, you know, who gets to be a baseball boyfriend. I got to pick them both. So the other thing that is good about picking somebody that I already picked their brother is I've done some research. So I'm going to repeat stuff. Maybe you remember it, but I didn't so much. One thing I want to point out is about the Lowe's. So Nathaniel and Josh Lowe, but the Rays have two players whose last name are Lowe. And that would be Josh, but your former pick, Brandon Lau, and they're both spelled the same, but it's a different pronunciation. So Low Lau.
Because the English language is such a beautiful thing. It's so intuitive.
Absolutely. And one of my friends this weekend who does not know a lot about baseball, but likes to listen to our show once in a while because we're so endearing, said, is this like the Kelsey brothers, you know, the football dudes?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a cute comparison. But actually, she was right. So last time when I talked about Nathaniel, I talked about how their mom, when they faced each other the first time, she had one of those specialty shirts made of half
the
of
half
each
and half.
Team.
Yeah.
And it was cool because she had each kid's name on their half of the shirt. But she got that idea after seeing Jason versus Travis Kelce and their mom dress up for the 23 Super Bowl. So go figure. Plus, she had cool shoes. I didn't realize that she had shoes to match, like one shoe of each team, as well as
Dang.
The shirt. She's, yes.
Mom can accessorize.
I'm so impressed with mom. My heart goes out to mom, too. We'll talk about her in a minute. So a little bit of rerun here. They grew up in a sportsy family. Their dad was drafted by the Mariners in 86, one spot ahead of Joe Girardi, but instead decided to play football and baseball for 4 years at the Naval Academy. So the parents super encouraged their kids to do sports. And when they were young, they used to play ball in the yard. And this reminds me of the whole Brady Bunch. You remember the Brady Bunch episode with Peter, don't play ball in the house. And then he smashes.
This is my nose.
Yeah.
My nose.
So they had just.
That's a yes, I do remember that.
There okay. we go. Anybody else out there remember? If you don't, just Google don't play ball in the house, Brady Bunch, and you'll be entertained. So they had just finished their sunroom, and they warned the boys, be careful playing baseball outside. Well, Josh decided that that was a good time to try his sidearm knuckleball, which is not something you should do next to a new sunroom. Needless to say, the sidearm knuckleball went through two panes of glass.
Oh, dear.
But Nathaniel, this is the typical big brother reflection on it, said that it was one of his fondest childhood memories. I think his brother got in a little bit of trouble. So Josh is the prodigy kind of type because he was drafted out of high school in the first round, 13th overall, when Nathaniel was drafted out of college the same year in the 13th round, and they both went to the Rays. So I talked about this with Nathaniel, that they were in the Florida State League together when they were first drafted, high A, and they roomed with Lucius Fox, former National, known for podcast. I don't
need to bring that one up.
Yep. And that they lived in a retirement community together. And it was Josh who noticed.
They lived in a retirement community together? Yeah, you did say that.
Because they were in Florida. Because it was cheap. And they were in the Florida. And they were in high A.
So did they add their ages together in order to qualify?
Bingo. So that's really? I don't think that's what got them to qualify. But Josh noticed that their combined ages equaled the average resident of the community. So I'm not quite sure how they got in.
I bet they were very popular.
Can you imagine? They must have been doing errands and like helping people out of their cars and stuff like that. I'm sure they were lovely. So soon after, not too soon, but Nathaniel was eventually traded to the Rangers in 2021, which is how I got to pick him for a whole nother team last year. Look up, please. I'm not sure if I put it in the notes, but Josh Lowe Annoy's Brother at First is a really cute video clip of, I think, the first time that he reached first base with his brother playing first and him making faces behind his brother. So, like, it could have been at the dinner table, that kind of thing. Other cosmic thing about Josh for me is that he debuted on my kid's birthday, September 8th, but not on their actual day of birth, but their 20th birthday, 2021. And that season, you know, September, he didn't play a lot. He actually only played two games. However, he walked out of that season with a 1,000 average and a 2,000 OPS because he had a walk and a hit.
Perfect. Specifically perfect.
So absolutely efficient right there. I read a couple of articles about his 2022. I'm not going to say too much besides some quotations, one being brief and disappointing 2022. And the second one being Trey Mancini's fairy tale came at the expense of Josh Lowe's face. And you may remember this. You definitely will. Trey's last game with the Orioles. And everybody wants Trey to do well on his last game. Everybody's all emotional. And he hit what should have been a fly ball, but it fell into Josh just lost it in the sun. You can see him misjudging it. And it hit him in the face. So not only does he blow the catch, but it hits him in the face. But the official scores did not count it as an error. They counted it as an inside the park home run for Trey Mancini. So he had that on his last game. Bless them. I guess the sun was just could have happened to anybody.
Scorekeepers have a little bit of judgment that they're allowed to use how they score errors. And I think they did that in all the best ways for everybody involved.
And I did double check. It is still scored as a home run. So, yay.
I love that you looked that up. That,
I wanted to look up like the details of that game, like the box score and stuff. And it was fun. Trey. I miss him. That's a sad one. So, 2023, though, breakout year. Josh Lowe was one of seven players in Major League Baseball with a 20 home run, 30 stolen base, and 30 double season. He actually had 32 steals and was only caught three times. So the other six players with him were all all-stars. Acuña, Lindor, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Tucker, Julio Rodriguez, and Trey Turner. Still, he had his ups and downs. He had a very rough June and July, some problems with really bad chase rates, whiff rates, and we talked about this at the end of the season last year, that's when his mom was diagnosed with brain cancer. He actually took time off to be there with his mom for her surgery. And I think just, you know, mental health-wise, power to him for taking time off. She missed the wild card face-off between the Rangers and Tampa, and also Nathaniel's playoff run. You know, the boys get asked about this a lot, and it's going to be hard. It's hard enough to deal with it in the family level, but then to have to like represent to the press. And I think Nathaniel's words, he said, quote, "Chemo, radiation, and doctor's appointments get in the way of her coming to the game. Objectively speaking, that's what it is. It's a lot. It's the only way I know how to say it. It's just a lot." It's just a lot. You know, it's a lot for anybody. I do know.
It's a lot.
Yep. Yeah, it's so much. Josh, so he took family leave. He said, and I was looking for her current status, especially with that uncertainty at the end of the year last year. And all I could find was that this year she's stabilized. She's getting scans every 3 months. I think it was Josh that said she's doing good and she appreciates all the kind words. So we'll add some more kind words in there.
Absolutely.
It's a tough path. Overall, Josh, despite all that, had a 292 average last year with 835 OPS. So I was all set for Josh. I had, you know, picked him previously in my head when I picked Nathaniel. And then I opened to do my first search on him, and I get the headline, "Breakout Tampa Bay's outfielder Josh Lowe shut down with hip injury."
Oh, damn.
Per manager. So Josh has some left hip inflammation. I do too. Actually, it's my right hip, but that's all right. So I understand that these things can be difficult. We should, you know, stay away from baseball activities for a while. He's both out for 6 days from baseball activities, out of games for 10 to 15. Kevin Cash says that he's hoping he will be okay for opening day. Before he got hurt, he only had three at-bats, but went 2 for 3 with a double and a walk. Ending quotation from my new friend Josh, "My goal every year is to try and do better than that year. I know it's hard to do, but at the same time, that's what makes great players great, is just being consistent."
Very nice. You may have heard a beer being poured. Yeah. It was a little, we went to a bottle, which we don't usually do as our second beer. So there was a little noisier than usual. What are we?
This is the Flying Dog Winter. So we're coming out of winter. We have to get through these. The winter ales, freezing season.
It's Stedman. 60 some degrees today. So but it the temperature will go down a little bit tonight. So we'll be a little bit freezing.
You know, I think there's one more of these in the fridge. We might have to just polish these off.
It could happen.
All right.
Hey, so my Tampa Bay guy this year, I had to double check because we saw a lot of Isaac Paredes during the World Baseball Classic. And I was like, did we pick? And we did not. So he's my guy. He's the third baseman for Tampa Bay. Isaac Paredes is 25 years old. He's from Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico. And I'm getting nods, so I think I said it not too badly.
Perfect.
He was signed by the Cubs in 2015 as an international free agent at 16 years old. Both of my guys.
Wow.
Are those guys who were signed internationally at 16 and then spent some time in the academies in their respective countries. So in 2017, he was playing single A in the Cubs system and getting all kinds of compliments, like for a kid who just turned 18, he's one of our best shortstops in the minor leagues right now. And then a few weeks later, it was the trade deadline and he was sent to Detroit.
Wow.
So they really loved him. And then see ya.
Yeah. Well,
there's that. That's okay. It happens.
Trading chip.
Now, here's a question I have for you, because he played a lot of winter ball in the Mexican League. And it said that the Mexican Pacific League, they call it the LMP. That's different. Yep. You said LMB.
Right.
Right. So the LMP is in fact a winter league.
Yep. Liga Mexicana del Pacifico.
Thank you very much. Yep. So he has played at least 4 seasons of winter ball. So 2017 through 2019, after the minor league season was over, he played winter ball with the Yaquis de Obregón.
You were so good. That was perfect.
Yay. Yay. And then, so he comes out of that. And then 2020, he's approaching his 21st birthday, and he decides he's going to be the responsible, serious guy. He's going to put away childish things, right?
Age 21.
Well, he said, "I didn't do the same things I did in 2018 or 17. I didn't do it anymore. I focused on myself and getting mature. I didn't behave like that." And so he was kind of like, there were follow-up questions, as you might imagine, like, what is this thing that you're not doing anymore? And he's like, "That's, you know, my personal life and my work ethic." There's also now a wife and child at this point. So I kind of think very young, but also he's like, okay, this is my responsibility. I'm taking care of my responsibilities. I am focused. I'm not doing those unnamed things that I was doing before. I am, you know, straightening up. I'm flying right. Okay.
I can't imagine what it would have been.
All right. So this is like spring training in 2020. Okay. And, you know, March 2020, everything stopped. He had a bad first half of that year, kind of like the whole rest of the world, but his were augmented by he had a shoulder injury in spring training, started coming out of that, and then COVID. He actually had COVID, right? He was diagnosed with COVID and went back to his home in Mexico to recover, and that took a while. And so remember when they had that second spring training they called summer camp?
Right.
So he missed all summer camp. So he's like recovering from an injury, then COVID, missing summer camp. He's like, I this whole season is lost to me. All of 2020 is lost to me, which it was to a lot of minor league players. But in fact, it wasn't, because when he recovered, he was put on that three-person taxi squad.
Wow.
To go along with the major league team in case they needed somebody to sub in. So he was put on it for the series against the White Sox. And lo and behold, that's how he debuted, right? He debuted on August 17th, 2020 versus the White Sox. He had a 2 RBI single off of our pal Gio Gonzalez.
Oh, I love Gio.
For his first major league hit, which was very exciting. And then days later, on the 21st, they're playing the Cleveland team, and his first major league home run is a grand slam.
Wow.
He was the first Tiger to hit a grand slam for their first home run since 2010. But probably more importantly is Cleveland had this record of walloping the Tigers 20 straight games. And this game where he hit this grand slam ended that streak. That streak of one team consistently beating another team was the longest since the Orioles beat the Royals from 1969 to 1970. That's how long, and that was like 23 games maybe, and this was 20 games. So this is like, these are like a big honking deal. Right. And so he had a very important role in ending that for the Tigers. After the 2020 season, he went back to the LMP and played this time for the Venados de Mazatlan, and then played in the Caribbean series for Mexico,
nice.
Right? So he is Team Mexico, yeah. Right? So he's always going home. He's always playing for Mexico. Then, April 2022, he is involved in a trade to the Rays. Here we go. Now he's a Ray for Austin Meadows, right?
Is that one of your Austins?
That's one of my Austins. Pretty sure it's one of my Austins. So a few weeks later, he had his first multi-home run game versus Detroit. It's like,
perfect.
Hi, you know, it's one of those, yeah, you traded me. It's, yeah, so see Robinson Cano above, right?
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Then, not long after that, June 21st, he had a 3-home run game versus the Yankees. And this is interesting for him because he's not a power hitter. Like, his home runs just go over the wall.
Wow.
He's not hitting the 430-foot home runs. He doesn't have that power. He's just hitting exactly where they need to go, right? So he's not this super shiny guy, right? He's getting it done. So we're back to 2023. Yes, he plays for Team Mexico for the World Baseball Classic, where he hits 375. He's got 6 runs batted in. 3 of those were in the game versus Puerto Rico, including a home run off of Marcus Stroman, which sent them to the semifinals.
Which we saw.
That's right. And then even though Team Mexico lost to Japan in the semifinal, he still went 3-for-4 in that game. So he had a great WBC. So now we're into the 2023 season. Playing the Mets in May, he hits 2 home runs off of Justin Verlander. Oof. And has a 5 RBI game, which tied his career best until a few weeks later when he had a 6 RBI game versus the Rangers, right? Again, not big, not flashy. He's just getting the job done. So before I talked about how he got very serious and all of that, he started to talk about after his first year at the Rays, he was loosening up because those guys are fun.
Yeah.
Right? I'm wearing my baseball is fun t-shirt right now. My Rays baseball is fun t-shirt. They laugh. They have a good time. And after this 6 RBI game, Tyler Glasnow, the Disney Prince, was asked about him and about Perez and how he behaves. Well, he's always locked in, always very consistent. He's just always ready to play. I've never seen him like up or down or angry. No matter how he's playing, he's the same dude. And he's a phenomenal baseball player. When he smiles, it's like, yeah. Or if you can make him laugh or something, it's like, Wow, I did it.
I can hear Krasnov.
Anytime he's smiling, it's good. All right. So again, Paredes is saying about his teammates on the Rays, I feel like a kid again playing a game with him, which is weird because, you know, he's 16 years old, yeah. Right? It was when he all of a sudden became this serious guy. So he hasn't been a kid for a very long time. But he said, it just lets me be me. It lets me have fun and be the player that I was when I was young.
Yet responsibly. So he's learning how to be a fun, responsible player.
Hoping he's balancing those things in all the right ways.
There we go. And I feel like the Disney Prince, Tyler Glasnow, is a good bridge for us right now because we're going from the Rays to the Dodgers, just like he did. So on to the Dodgers. James Outman, outfield for the Dodgers. I believe he's going to be in center field. Yes.
Can we pause for a second and say sure. Just how hard it is to find somebody on the Dodgers? Yes. Like I went through their probable opening day lineup, and I was like, did him, got him. Yep. He was one up, one of yours, one of mine, one of yours. It's we have picked over these Dodgers.
Right. So, well, and also it's not just Tyler Glasnow. It's the Dodgers collect good players. I picked Mookie Betts when he was on the Red Sox. Yeah, yeah. You picked Freddie Freeman when he was on Atlanta. Like they have been picking guys up because the Dodgers know what's good. So we'll see what happens with them this year. So right after, and I was actually debating. I wasn't totally sure. I went back and forth and tried to, you know, scrape up some Dodgers from the basement. And then I saw that yesterday... today is Sunday, so Saturday, James Outman had a 3-run home run and also singled, doubled, and walked and stole second and third base after walking, so manufactured some stuff with that walk. It was his second home run in 6 games. He is currently, at the time of recording, 6-for-14 with 3 walks. That averages out to .429 average with a 1.485 OPS. So I'm thinking he's been showing up for spring training and I feel pretty good about this. The other thing that is equally important is the style of the baseball boyfriend, right? And he's got some flow and it's interesting to see all the comments on his flow because there are comparisons to so many people, but they all are like, oh yeah, that actually does look like him. So Jon Snow, which is the one that I didn't know.
Oh.
Right, I know. Oh. I don't do Game of Thrones.
I'm so sad.
Apparently,
don't worry,
does.
I'll take that for the team.
He's like, that's why I was like, shoot, you know, is this a Patty sign?
Kind of is.
Yeah, and also Kylo Ren was another Patty sign, you know, yeah. The whole Star Wars thing. However, okay. You know, what I clued into was the John Mayer because of his Grateful Dead, or not
yeah.
Grateful Dead, but the
Boy,
dead,
we really do have a dividing line.
Yes.
Like, although Johnny Depp could go either way, I'm guessing.
Yep. So there's all that right. Whole, like, he looks very Pirates of the Caribbean-y. You know who I think, personally, he also looks like is Andrew Benintendi when he was young.
Also. Former boyfriend.
Yep. And all that right. Same just kind of little wavy, curly stuff poking out the back. His birthday is May 14th, which I originally thought, you know, that's awfully close to Patty's birthday, but... The friend that I was with this weekend while I was making these decisions, her birthday is, I didn't realize, well, I knew it was May 14th, but what I didn't realize is you guys are like 5 days apart, literally. You're the exact same age. You're about to have the same year of birthday, years completed. That's
you know,
it.
That happens
I'm gonna keep
sometimes.
That vague. Yeah, but
okay.
Who knew 5
60.
Days apart?
I'm going to be 60.
All right. So is Marita. So happy almost birthday, Marita. He is from Redwood City, California, and went to Sacramento State. And he was a good player, but it doesn't jump out at you when he was at Sacramento State. He had exactly, weirdly, cosmically, the exact same stats sophomore and junior years in several categories. The exact same average, .253. The exact same 58-for-229 at-bats both years. Both years, 11 home runs. Both years, 3 triples. So that's a little bizarre.
Those aren't typos. That's for real?
That's for real.
Wow.
That's for real. And so his .253 average was 2 years in college. Right now, his MLB career average is .254. So it's staying. It's like that kind of, it's looking a little bit mediocre. But, you know, he's getting through there. He also is continuing my track record at this point with guys who also studied while they were in college. Last week that we did the Astros and I talked about Jake Myers being on the honor roll? So not only is James Outman on the honor roll, but he was awarded or named to the Academic All-WAC, WAC list, Western Athletic conference with a 3.2 GPA. Summer of 2017 is, luckily Patty tipped me off to this, that he was in our backyards, basically. He was playing in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Wooden Bat League. Did I get all that right?
Pretty good.
All right. However, he played for what I consider to be sort of the Yankees of the
Cal. They are absolutely the Yankees of the league, yes.
He played for the Bethesda Big Train. He raked for the Bethesda Big Train. So despite his mediocre-ish college stats, he, for this summer league, and I feel like this must have been instrumental in him getting drafted, he batted .341. He was the team MVP. He was the league most outstanding player, and he was the perfect game from Rawlings 2017 Summer Collegiate Player of the Year. Just recently, in June last year, 2023, he was named to the Cal Ripken Senior Wooden Bat League Hall of Hall of Fame. But he wasn't in the picks for the dinner. And so they had like the three other guys and a fourth guy in a picture on the website.
You know why?
Why?
He wasn't there.
Yeah. He didn't go. That's what I figured. That's
I think he was doing other things in June.
He
kind of busy.
I guess he has a good excuse for that. But it was kind of funny to see that picture because there's four guys in it. And three of the guys are the three other guys who got awarded. And then there's like the league president or something. I'm like, that doesn't look like James Outman.
No.
Yeah. So for somebody who is under 300 for a college average, there's kind of low expectations. However, I feel like, and this is just another plug for your wonderful Cal Ripken Summer Wooden Bat League thing, that it can make a difference. He was signed seventh round with the Dodgers in 2018 and then had several very mediocre years in minor leagues. He went 0 for 20 to start his career in rookie ball. That's going to be harsh in 2018. Kicked around for a couple years. You know, then there was 2020, didn't do anything then. 21, he was still at high A, and then went up to double A. And then 22 is really where he clicked in and made it up to triple A. At that point, he was gifted a pet rock named Rocka after from his pitcher in AAA, and this rock still lives as much. I mean, I come from the era of pet rocks.
Maybe sits.
Did you have a pet rock? Do you remember the pet
rocks? I remember
the
pet rocks, yes.
They were so cutely packaged. This one has a smiley face, so his pet rock still sits in his locker, and he apparently gives it coffee. The pet rock likes coffee, so he will drop coffee on the mouth of the pet rock, Rocka. But it's good luck. Apparently, Rocka helps him rock. Rocka came from the pitcher who was not doing well. And so the whole team ascertained that that means it's a hitter's rock.
Oh,
not
sure.
A pitcher's rock. So they gave it to the hitter.
That makes total sense to me.
It totally does. I know Mr. Pottymouth is going to doubt that like crazy.
He's wrong.
So he debuted July 31st, 2022. Against Colorado, and what a debut it was. He went for 3 for 4 with a single, a double, and a home run. And the home run was in his first major league at bat, which made him the 8th Dodger and the 4th LA Dodger to home run in his first major league at bat. He played only 4 games in 22, but then aforementioned Cody Bellinger left, plus Gavin Lux, former pick of mine, had torn his ACL, which made James the opening day starter for 2023. He did really well, especially to kick off. Notably, you know, one of the first series that people were focusing on was when they were going to face Cody Bellinger now on the Cubs, and they faced him in April, so right away in 2023. First series was at the Dodgers, and then second series at the Cubs, and there's a lot of, you know, is Cody Bellinger high jokes going around on those internets, and they were playing against the Cubs on 420.
Yeah.
So they're playing against Cody Bellinger on 420. Both Cody Bellinger and James Outman hit home runs that were 420 feet on 420 the day that they faced each other. All right. And then Outman later hit another.
You know, we haven't like brought numerology into this. And I like how you made it, you know, recreational drug related too. That's just perfect.
Sure. There's got to be some inner meaning there, really.
It's really buried. It's hard to find.
It is. However, and talking about game winning grand slams, Outman later hit the 9th inning grand slam to win the game. So he had 2 home runs compared to Cody Bellinger's 1. So 2023. He played 151 games, basically the whole season. He had a red hot start April. He was rookie of the month for the National League, and then cooled down a little bit for May and June. Hot again July and August, again National League rookie of the month. And, you know, noted that Corbin Carroll was around, so he was getting some conversation about rookie of the year, but Corbin Carroll. One thing I really liked about what Outman said is that he soaked up the advice from the vets, took advantage. Like, he is definitely the young guy on this team, and especially Jason Hayward, your former pick, for being an outfielder and connecting with him. His wife seems lovely. Dasha, she's from the Ukraine. She immigrated in 2005. It looks like they're high school sweethearts from what I can tell from their Instagram, because it's definitely, I was like, this is college. No, this is not college graduation. It was high school graduation, 2014-15. That's like, oh, wait, that's not that long ago, but it very much probably was. She went to Menlo College, apparently stayed together through college while they were both in California. And she graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Business, and she co-owns and manages a real estate property, a company, real estate transaction company. Very specific, but seems very lovely. They're adorable together. I like the spirit of my guys, and when they're like the happy guy in the clubhouse, the guy with a lot of energy, and it seems like James Outman is that guy. The quotation from him that I want to leave with is, for me, if I get angry, I put myself in a deeper hole. You take everything in stride and deal with it. If I'm not joking around, then I'm going to be miserable because I'm not playing well and I'm being serious. So I might as well have fun with it. So I love that attitude that if you get in a funk, if you get pissed and angry about it, it's just going to make it worse. So might as well lighten up. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. For the Dodgers, I went ahead and picked another catcher, because why not? But sure. I think you're going to like him. I think you're going to like him. So this is Diego Cartea. He's 22, catcher. He was born in Maracay, Venezuela.
Maracay,
Venezuela. Phew. Thank you. I was so close. And the bar was, I was tipping.
I know, I'm sorry.
I needed to fall off that pedestal, because now there's so much less pressure on me at this point. He has been playing baseball since he was, you know, two, because who wouldn't play since they were two? At 10, he played third base for the Venezuelan national team at his age group.
Oh, my God.
He wanted, even at that time, as a third baseman, he kind of wanted to be a catcher. And everyone's like, oh, like, you know, like Salvi Perez, of course. He's like, well, actually, like Joe Mauer, because he's tall and he bats left like I do.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? He finally did switch to the catcher position at 14 years old, and that's when the Dodgers started paying attention to him, because they start paying attention at 14.
That's crazy.
At 14. They were a little worried about his size because he sprung up pretty quickly, and he had that body type that could go either way, super strong or, you know, cushy. Either direction, like, you know, and Salvi is, you know, got kind of a body type like that. So there's all kinds of comparisons that are happening. Turns out his mom was the physical trainer at the academy, and she's a professional bodybuilder.
That is so cool.
And so the Dodgers like, yeah, he's all right.
All right. Mom.
Mom's got this.
I want a beer with mom.
Right. Okay. So she still watches out for him. She still, I believe, makes assignments for him and what he should be doing to, like, you know, take care of himself. And his response is, bro, she's really hard on me. And it's hard because she's my mom. I can't just say no. I have to do it. If I don't do it, I won't get breakfast the next day.
Yeah, she's a bodybuilder. That's like a serious threat.
Yeah. So Diego was MLB Pipeline's top international prospect in 2018. Dodgers finally signed him at that time, 16 years old. See the pattern there, for $2.5 million.
That's a lot in Venezuela.
Yeah, so here we go. Right. And he has reflected back on, you know, where he grew up is a very dangerous, scary place.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of conversation about that. He does not forget that. So, you know, a way out is a way out, right? The Dodgers signed a total of 8 teenagers from Venezuela at that same time. So I think it's pretty interesting. He was the only catcher. The scouting report that Pipeline had on him had, you know, all these are all his strengths and everything. And they said that the Pipeline says they hope that he'll follow in the path of Salvador Perez, because
sure,
why not, right? So he's in the farm system for the Dodgers in 2020. Everything shuts down. he's invited to live with his minor league coach's family. So Travis Barbary is his minor league coach. This is Greenville, South Carolina.
Wow.
Apparently, he picked up English super fast. He says, I don't like classes, but I'm just going to like get in there and just use my words, basically. Wow. And so he learned English very quickly. So Travis, the coach, his wife Raquel said, no, he's not staying in a hotel room for 3 or 4 months. He has to come here.
Good woman.
Right? So mom brings him in. And his response to getting immersed in the South Carolina culture is, the first time I heard someone say, how y'all doing? I was like, what? But now I get it.
Yeah, that's not something that you learn in your English language classes, is y'all. So not normally taught.
So Travis and Raquel have 4 kids.
Ooh, wow.
About the same age as Diego, and 3 of them came home at this time during the pandemic. 2 of them were college students, like 19 and 20, you know, something, okay. 21 years old maybe. And then their other son actually was also in the Dodgers minor league system, and he came home. So they had 4, you know, basically 20-somethings, apparently, and a very large grocery bill.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of sort of cross-cultural, sure. You know, learning about each other and all of that. He said, you know, I learned about frosted flakes and s'mores and cheesesteaks, and I made them arepas.
Oh, I love arepas.
He calls Raquel mom.
Aww.
So it's Travis and mom, because he wouldn't call your coach dad. That would be weird.
Yeah.
But I guess his wife can be mom. But Raquel says, I'm just a fill-in. Even though he's big and strong and extremely talented, he's still an 18-year-old kid and still needs his mom or someone who can fill those shoes temporarily. That's how I see our role, just giving him a family. When guys come over from foreign countries, they already have the language barrier for one thing, but they don't have their families here. So I think they're thankful just to know their kids are safe and somebody's looking out for them.
Aww.
So I, you know, I'm all for the emergency backup moms. That's kind of how all of our kids were raised, with emergency backup moms right and left. And I'm really happy to see that extends to other communities.
Sure.
In 2022, he was the Dodgers Branch Rickey Minor League Player of the Year. He started the 2022 Futures game as their starting catcher. He played single A and high A. So he had a really good season in 22. And going into 23, there was some talk of, is this when he's going to get his call up? I mean, even though he's only been at, you know, single A and high A, it was a long shot. But there was absolutely a conversation back in spring training. But he didn't have a great season, right? So he was pretty much in double A all year. And he's kind of, I mean, they've got Will Smith. Then now they've got Austin Barnes. So it's going to be it's going to be tricky for him to break in. But he was so close for a while. So it depends, I think. Is he going to shine this year or not? But I like this kid. I'm hoping for the best for him. I'm also happy that I have 2.5 other catchers, because I'm not confident that he's coming up. Yeah. But he might. And I kind of hope he does.
Yeah.
I like his spirit. Next week is our last week to pick players from very specific teams. We're at the top of the pile.
Wow.
That would be the Baltimore Orioles and the Atlanta baseball team.
Right. Which means that our fantasy league is going to be starting soon. Our Patreon friends are going to get a little sneak peek this week. So more on that later, on how to join Patreon. But we'll keep everybody informed so everybody can play with us, because the more the merrier.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Very, very short cross-training bit right before recording. Caitlin Clark is now the all-time for anybody NCAA scoring record for basketball. And on Twitter, Rebecca Lobo said that not only did she set this all-time record, so this is men's or women's or any gender for basketball record, but also she is 6th in career assists as well. And for context, no other players in the top 25 of both. And she's number 1 for all-time scoring and 6th for assists. So power to Caitlin Clark. I'm wondering where she's going to get signed.
So she right now plays for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Okay.
I think that's important to note. And I think that might come in handy for those of you who may or may not be doing brackets sometime
soon.
That's
right, in the near future.
Yes. For those of you who are ticking off the days until the O's are free of the Angelos family, there's rumors that the sale, the new ownership, might take effect by opening day or not long after. See, what we talked about before was that the owners need to vote. The next owners meeting is until the summer. Yeah. You know, there's technology they don't have to be at the same place to vote. So I think that's kind of how they talked about it at their February owners meeting. And I think, you know, there's paperwork and I think they're going to do a vote. And I think that the goal is to get new ownership in place on or near opening day.
Yay.
David Rubenstein, who's the, you know, the lead in this ownership group, was at spring training yesterday to hang out with the O's and got to watch their win over the Yankees, which is always a fun thing to do. One of the reasons why they're pretty confident that this ownership change could move so quickly is that Rubenstein is a known quantity. Right? All the rich people know who he is.
Oh, man.
And they know everything about him. So they don't have to do such a deep dive to make sure he's legit. And, you know, you've got some people like Cal Ripken and Grant Hill and also known quantities involved. So it could move quickly. I have a very quick fun fact for you about spring training. I was watching the O's spring training game today. And gosh, I can't even remember who they were playing now, but I was watching the other feed. Oh, it was Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh. Oh. So I was watching the Pittsburgh feed, and I love listening to how people from other teams talk about my team, right? And they noted that when Jackson Holliday moved from second base to shortstop, that, oh, hey, in case you don't know, his number 87 is actually number 8 for Cal Ripken and number 7 for his dad, Matt Holliday.
Really?
Yeah, and I thought that was cool.
That is super awesome.
Yes. And in other news, Shohei Ohtani said, oh, by the way, I'm married, right. Which didn't just surprise the fans, but also surprised the Dodgers. In fact, Dave Roberts learned from his wife that Shohei Ohtani had gotten married. His wife has joined him at spring training. He did not divulge any names. Just said that, you know, she is Japanese. I've known her for a while. We proposed a while ago. And the reason that we delayed this announcement is because there were paperwork issues. I'm sure people who know immigration attorneys might understand what that's involved. And the joke was in the piece in The Athletic about it was, well, at least they can defer the wedding gift. Right? That's a little contract joke.
That's hysterical.
So congratulations, Shohei, an unnamed spouse. I hope you have a long and happy life together.
You know, I've been trying to find the initial announcement that he made. I believe in the initial announcement, he said someone, he didn't mention any gender. And it was sort of like it definitely came up that it was a woman, but it wasn't in his initial announcement, but the assumption came through right away. And I was kind of hoping that he was doing like I'm just not going to say this and it's going to be a surprise for everybody. But, well, it has come out that it is a woman from Japan. So, but a lot of assumptions being made right away. I'll find the wording at some point.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
Okay, my friends, if you have some picks for us, this is the last time you can chime in this year on boyfriend advice for us, although you know who my O's guy is going to be because it's my once and forever to ever boyfriend there. But I got to pick a guy on Atlanta, and Potty Mouth needs to pick guys on both, although I'm going to make some serious suggestions about the O's. I'm just going to say. We'll talk about that later.
I've already made my pick for the O's.
Okay, good. I can't wait. Okay, that's going to be super fun. But anyway, if you want to let us know at least about Atlanta then, because apparently the O's are locked down. Yeah. You know where to find us on social media. And again, if you want to participate in our fantasy league, we would love to have you. We will send out instructions in about another week or so about what to do to get ready. But reach out to us in any of the ways that you can reach out to us. And what are those ways, Potty Mouth?
There are so many ways, so many ways. You can find us on X Twitter thing or Blue Sky at NCIB Podcast. Facebook and Instagram are No Crying in B-Ball. Or you can write us at ncibpodcast@gmail.com. Or I'm sure you could throw out some smoke signals and we will find them. You know, just put it out there. We will take it in. We very much appreciate it. Oh, yeah, Patreon. If you want to throw us some money, it would be patreon.com/nocryingbball. And we very, very much appreciate all of our Patreon friends. Apologies to Patreon friends for me not getting our last week's recording out, but it needed some editing. It still needs some editing, and it was very, very long. So you guys are going to get it might be out by the time that you hear this, because I have 2 days and I can edit lots of things.
And then,
but usually we do like a quick, fun, extra little tidbit for Patreon. So get on there and, you know, find fun stuff. Plus, we're going to give them a little bit of a heads up on the rules, right?
We sure are. But if you're wondering what last week's thing that took extra time was, we did a dramatic reading of John Updike's really lovely essay on Ted Williams' last game with the Red Sox. And so that's, we'll be there in its entirety on Patreon. So please join us and you can hear it too.
Mm-hmm. Fun stuff.
Watch some spring training games. Stare at some butts to see if they're transparent, pants transparent or not. I mean, report back to the class. You be you. No judgment. No judgment here. We are going to judge. If you please get your booster, fight the man is the right thing to do. Send your game balls or possibly your new MLB uniforms to Meredith. And until next week, say goodnight, potty mouth.
Good night, potty mouth. Are we ready? Are we? I can't even pronounce awake, let alone be awake. Like, are we awake enough for this?
Well, yes. I mean, what are our options?
Not none.
Okay, I had caffeine an hour ago, a little bit.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm gonna yawn.